Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be back with you today. I tell you, it seems like I've been away for a while, but I hadn't, just a couple of weeks. But we were at homecoming a couple Sundays ago, and y'all got to hear Brother Hunter. He's our new associate pastor of music and youth. I know he did a great job. I know you enjoyed hearing him, and we invite you, if you have youth, if you don't have a in church somewhere, if you don't have a youth that's in church, then we'd invite him to come and be a part of our youth program here at West Macomb Baptist Church, or even our music. Brother Hunter does our music, and I know he does a good job preaching too. He's kind of a man of many talents, and we're so happy to have him, and so fortunate to have him in our church in this new position. So I appreciate him filling in for us a couple weeks ago. But we're glad to be back with you this morning, and another great day in it. Today's Father's Day, and we want to wish all you fathers a happy Father's Day out there. And I know we'll be celebrating that at our church today, and I'm sure my kids will be around. We'll be celebrating Father's Day somehow or another. I know I did with my father. I'm still fortunate to have him, 89 years old, but he's still up and about. Him and Mama both still alive and able to live in their own home. And so we love visiting with them, and thank the Lord for blessing me with a godly father, and one that was able to take me to church and teach me about the Lord and spend time with me and love me and still does. And so we're glad of that, and we just praise God for that today. So we hope that you too have such a father. So this morning, before we get started into our text and everything, let's do go to the Lord and thank him for our fathers today, and especially those godly fathers, and pray for those fathers that maybe are not godly fathers, that they'll become godly fathers, that they'll see the need to make that change in their life this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get right into it. Father, we do thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to come and proclaim your word once again. We thank you for those that listen on this radio station. Lord, we know some that are shut in and have to listen every week, Lord, but we pray for them and their needs, and you know what they need most at this time. We pray for those that may be sick this morning and not able to get out or go to church today. We pray for their restored health, that they can soon be back in your house. We pray for those that may be traveling for whatever reasons today, maybe on vacation or something. We know it's that time of the year. Give them traveling graces, Lord, to and from where they're going. And then, Lord, if there's those that are just not in church, then we pray, Lord, that they'll find a local church near them. We invite them to come to West Macomb. If they live close enough, we'd love to have them there. But Lord, just place them in a church and that family and that church family, the where they can be ministered to and they can serve you and worship you in the way, Lord, that they need to. But just speak to us now from your word. Cleanse me of my sin, anything in my heart or mind that may hinder me from preaching this word this morning, that you would remove it now as we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we do pray. Amen. You know, this morning as we think about Father's Day, we want to think about God's testimony of me. In other words, what does God think about you? What, when he looks at you, what does he think about you this morning, especially as fathers? I know we're talking about fathers today. And so when you really think about God looking down upon this earth, what is it that God would think about you? What is it that he looks down and sees in you? You know, I ask myself that question a lot of times when I think about Abraham, and God looked down and saw Abraham and chose Abraham to be the father of his great nation of Israel. When I think about when that great time of sin was so great upon the world that God looked down, and who did he see? He saw Noah, and that one righteous man in all the world stuck out, and he chose Noah. When I think about Mary and Joseph, and I think about how that he chose Mary, that virgin, that young lady, that young woman, and her spouse, her man that she was to marry, Joseph, to choose them to be the earthly parents of Jesus, for Joseph to be that stepdad, because you know that's all he was a stepdad, because God was his father. But so when you think about those kind of people, it really makes you wonder, well, what would God's testimony about me? What would he say about me? What is his idea about who I am and what I should be? And it really makes me wonder, you know, am I living up to who God really thinks that I am today? And so this morning, I want us to really think about that. I want us to think about our fathers. You know, God, I believe, has a father's heart. Matter of fact, he told us when the disciples came to Jesus and they asked Jesus, they said, teach us to pray. And what did Jesus teach them there in John chapter 6? He didn't teach them. He didn't say, pray, oh, our heavenly Father. I mean, oh, our heavenly God, above all. What did he say? Our Father which art in heaven, our Father. So he told them to call upon him as Father, to call him Abba, to call him Daddy, to have that intimate relationship with him. So we know that God has a Father's heart. We know that God is the Father of us all as his children, and he looks at us in that relationship as Father and Son. So I want us to look at these verses that we want to see this morning. We're going to read from Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. We're going to begin with verse 14 and read down through verse 23. Acts chapter 13, beginning with verse 14, and read down through verse 23. It says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law, the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue, sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word or exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt in strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land unto them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And after they despised the king, and God gave unto them Saul, desired a king, excuse me, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, the man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when they had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. You know, as we read these verses, I think this is a wonderful story. It's so true to who Paul and Barnabas, and especially Paul, is, and the disciples after they saw the resurrected Christ. We see that it says they departed from Perga and they went to Antioch, which is Bethsaida, and as they was there on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue. Well, as they were in the synagogue, we know they picked up the law and they began to read the law. When they got through reading the law, they made a mistake, didn't they? Well, it really wasn't a mistake. It was all God's plan. But what happened? They asked Paul and Barnabas, they said, hey, y'all want to say something? Y'all got anything to say about it? You want to have any explanation upon this or exhortation to the people? Do you want to say anything? If you do, say on. Well, that's the wrong thing to tell a preacher, isn't it? That's the wrong thing to tell old Paul, and say, Paul, you got anything you want to say about this? Then go head on. So what does Paul do? He stands up and he motions to the people. And he says, okay, now y'all come right here and y'all listen. I want everybody to listen. I want all the men of Israel, and I want all the people that fear God. Now you listen to what I'm fixing to tell you. He says, you know that God, that you are his chosen people. You are his chosen Israelite people. And then he says he chose our fathers, and he exalted this people. Now, when I thought about that, and I thought about as he goes through this history, them coming out of Egypt, how that God brought them out, and then how they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and how that he destroyed all their people that were in front of them so that they could go in and take over Canaan. And then he says, then he gave you judges, and for about 400 years, 450 years, he says, then came Samuel, who was a prophet. They'd been without a word from the Lord. Samuel comes in. They cry for a king. They give him Saul. God says, okay, I'll give you Saul, who was of the tribe of Benjamin for about 40 years. But we know that Saul turns away from God. And so God does what? He says he found him a man out of the son of Jesse, who what? Was a man after my own heart. Did you hear that? And which shall fulfill my will. And out of him shall come the seed, will come the Savior, which is Jesus Christ. And he has come. And that's what Paul stood and he began to preach and he began to share from. So what does that have to do with Father's Day? Well, I want us to think about this. You know, when we think about it, he gives the history here of the Israelite people. And he says, you know, the God of this people in verse 17 of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt in strangers' land of Egypt. And high arm, what did he do? He brought them down out of Egypt. But he chose our fathers. You know, think about our nation. Think about how far our nation has come to where our nation had become the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Now, I know as well as you do, I know that we are, our nation is far from perfect, that we are in a terrible time, that we have turned away from the Lord, and a lot of that has to do with what has happened to our fathers and fatherhood in our nation. But we see that our nation, just as the nation of Israel, God chose our fathers. Do you know that our nation was built upon the backs of our fathers, our men, mainly? Now, women, don't think I'm slighting you any at all. I know you had a great part in it. And as the Bible says, not the Bible says, but as everybody told me through the years, what, behind every great man, there's a great woman. So, you know, I know you've done your part. But it was through the men. Can you think about the fathers, those that have fought in the wars and those that have left their families? You know, we just had Veterans Day the other day and we remembered all those that had given their lives. There was many a father who died in the service of this nation, and they're still dying because of trying to keep our nation what it is. When you think of all the inventions, when you think about the industry that our nation had had, it's all because of the working man. You know, that working man, not the white collar, but the blue collar, the man that's out there working every day in the factories, working in the plants, working with his hands, our fathers who have done this, who have invented to do these things. Think about all those farmers. Think about all those farmers, your grandpas and grandmas that went out there and worked every day. I know that my grandfather on my mama's side, you know, he never owned his own piece of property. He never owned a house. He raised 12 kids. But you know what he did? He was a sharecropper. He moved and he grew crops, and he was a sharecropper. Denise's family, both of them, came out of the Delta. Both of them were 10 kids, and they were sharecroppers. They worked around the Delta, and they farmed, and they were farmers. And on the backs of our fathers, backs of our mothers, we see that our nation has become the nation that it is today. And we know that today that we have lost the importance of that father and that mother. We have downplayed how important. Matter of fact, we're at a point, and I talked about this on Mother's Day, that now we don't even want to call a mother, it's a birth person. Isn't that crazy? And now today, you know, some woman can say that she's the father side of the family. No, a woman would never be a father, just as a father, a man would never be a mother. And we cleared that up on Mother's Day, so we won't go back and go through that. But look what it says here. It says the testimony that God had of David was what? That he was a man after God's own heart. Man, isn't that a wonderful thing to think about, that God would look down upon you and would say to you, this is a man after my own heart. This is a man after my own heart. And what did God say about him? He will fulfill my will. And out of his seed will come what? The Savior of the world. Out of his will come that Savior. I will raise up out of into Israel a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And this is what Paul was telling them. He says, all this law, it's been fulfilled. Now we have a Savior. His name is Jesus. But I want us to go back and think about God's testimony of you, of me. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I hope we one day I'll live long enough to be a great-grandfather. The grandchildren, don't get any ideas in your head. I'm not rushing it. But, you know, I hope one day I'll be like my parents. My parents have 14 great-grandchildren. Isn't that amazing? But, you know, when I think about the fathers and I think about the testimony that he gives here, this is what a man after my own heart. So I want us to think about that just a moment. What kind of man does that mean that David was? Well, we know the scriptures. We know David's life from the time that he was a youth. We know the stories of his great victories. We know the stories of his great failures that he had in his life. He was not a perfect man, but God gave him a testimony. He's a man after my own heart. So what does that mean? What does the heart of God look like? We know that God has a father's heart. He wants to be called a father. He calls us his children, and we are the people of God. He is our God, but he says, call me Father, call me Abba. So when he tells us that he is our Father, then what kind of heart does he have? So I want us to think about three things this morning real quickly that we can see about the heart of God that I think describes the heart that David had. First of all, God's heart is a heart of love. It is a heart of love. Number two, God's heart is a God of the heart of righteousness. God does that which is right. Number three, God is a God of courage. You ever thought about that? That God is a God of courage? You think God's scared of anything? No, he's not. So let's think about those three things this morning as we think about him saying of David, this is a man after my own heart. So let's think about the first thing. First thing I said is God is a God of love. He is a God of love. Matter of fact, if you read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it doesn't say that he is a God of love, but it says very plain what? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In other words, any kind of definition that you could look up of God or of love, God is love. Love is God. You cannot describe love without talking about the unconditional kind of love that God has for each and every one of us. That unconditional kind of love that he has for me and that he has for you. Nobody has such a love that God has. His heart is a heart full of love. Now, how do we know that? Because he proved that. You keep reading there in that John chapter 4 and going on down from verse 8, it talks about that God loved us so much that what? That he gave his son to be a propitiation for our sin. It wasn't in that we first loved him, but that God first loved us. And he loved us so much. What did it say in John 3:16? For God so loved you. How much did he love you? So much that he would give his only begotten son to do what? To take our place on the cross. His love is that love that is a sacrificial love. Unconditional type love. Now, you know, we must love him. And we're going to love him, then we got to prove it by keeping his commandments to do those things. And this is what he says about David. David was a man after my own heart. He had that kind of love in his heart, that he would do my will, that he would follow my heart. He's a man after my own heart. That means if you got God's heart within your heart, if you're after the heart of God, then you're going to do the things and you're going to love the way that God loves. Now, you know, us men, a lot of times we don't like to show our affections much, do we? We don't like to show how much we love. You know, I know that I was a grown man before I ever heard my dad say he loved me. You know, but one thing I always did, I can tell you, every time I took my kids to school in the mornings and before they got out of the car, when they get out of the car, the last things they heard was, Daddy loves you. Because, see, I didn't know what was going to happen. This world we live in, your kid goes to school or you leave for work or you go off, you don't ever know if you're going to really see them again or not. When I take my grandchildren to school or anywhere and they get out of my car, I say to them, the last thing I say to them, you remember, Grandpa loves you. See, men, we got to have the heart of God. God didn't mind expressing his love to us. He did it on the cross. He did it in all the things that he does for us. He don't mind telling us, I love you. And I loved you so much that I gave my only begotten son. He don't mind showing it. He don't mind expressing that love because he was willing to sacrifice it. You know, David was a man that knew how to love. He loved God. First of all, we see his Psalms talks about his love of God. He loved his family. We see that he was a servant in that family. He was the youngest one, and he got sometimes the dirtiest of jobs, and we see him out in the field when Samuel comes, what? To anoint him as king. He goes through all the sons, and he looks at Jesse, and God says that none of these are him. And so he looks at Jesse, you got it? He said, I got one more, but he's out there tending the sheep. while all the rest of them getting here looked at, he's out there taking care of the sheep. He loved his family. He loved his father. He loved God. And we know that what? He was a servant. And because of that love that he had, and when he comes in, God says, hey, that's him. You remember what God told Peter when he asked him, said, Peter, do you love me? And what did Peter say? Yes, I love you. And what did God say? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Be a servant. We know when the disciples were bickering over, well, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? What did Jesus tell them? He said, let me tell you something. He that wants to be the greatest in the kingdom of God has got to be what? Servant of all. He said the Son of God didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. God's heart is one of a servant. He loves his family. He loved his God. He loved his friends. You know, when you think about David, when he was fleeing from Saul, and him and Jonathan were such great friends. This is Saul's son. And you remember how that he loves Jonathan. They were best of friends. You know, I got some good friends. I got some close friends that I love. And I tell you, they're close to me. I never had a brother. But I got two or three of them that's close as me as any brother could be. And you know, when I think about them, I do it with a heart of love because I love them, because they are my brothers. And we know that David made many sacrifices because of his love, even with Jonathan. We know he could have killed Saul several times. You remember when Saul would come into the gate, he could have killed him, but he didn't do it. Because why? Because he loved God, first of all, because he knew what? That was God's anointed. That was the king that God anointed. And David said, I'm not going to kill the king. I think he also, no, he doesn't say this. I'm just saying it because I feel so surely about David's heart. I think he loved Jonathan, his friend. And he said, how would it make Jonathan feel to know that I killed his daddy? You know, I'm not going to do that. Because he had a heart of love. David shown a heart of love. He had a heart of love. Well, let's look at the second thing about God's heart that David had. It was a righteous heart. We see that it was a righteous heart. Now, last week, if you didn't hear it probably on the radio because I had another sermon because I was off doing something. I was at youth camp all week, so I didn't get it recorded for Sunday, so you had to listen to another one. But I think it was a good sermon anyway. I hope you enjoyed it. But this righteousness that we see, we talked about that armor of God and that breastplate of righteousness. And we talked about how that Jesus told his disciples, what? Your righteousness has got to exceed even more than the righteousness of the Pharisees. Well, listen, David had a righteousness that was above the righteousness of the Pharisees. See, God looked at David and he says, he has what? He has the heart of mine. Now, how is God's heart? Well, we're told in the Bible several things about God's heart. First thing that we want to see is what? Is that God has a holy heart. Do you remember in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah sees that vision and he sees the throne of God and he sees all those seraphim, verifim, he sees this train just coming down from the altar, and what does he hear them singing? Holy, holy, holy. And what did old Isaiah say? He said, woe is me. Because why? Because I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm not a holy person. But holy, holy, holy. God is righteous. He is holy. He is just. He can't deal with being in the same room with sin. He's got to deal with it. He's a holy God. When he put Adam and Eve in that Garden of Eden, and when they sinned against him, what did he do? He kicked them out. Because God is a holy God. And because he loves us and because he's holy, he will chasten us when we do wrong. David was not perfect. Sometimes he did wrong, and God had to chasten him. But his heart was a righteous heart. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, he says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I am holy. Therefore, be ye holy. God is a holy God. Would his testimony of you look down upon you, and would he say, that's a righteous man right there. That's a righteous father right there. His heart is right with me. Well, how did it get to be that? Well, you know, David, he talked about God. He talked about how close he and God was. And in all of his Psalms, you read those Psalms, I'm calling unto God. And many of them talk about how did you have a righteous and a pure and holy heart. First one, what did he talk about in Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside those still waters. You know, God is my shepherd. And because God is my shepherd, I mean, he's going to lead me in the right path. See, for us to have a holy heart like God has to have, then we got to be willing to follow him. We have to be his sheep. And we see that David had such a heart that he would follow God. What did he say in that verse 22 that we read? And he is a man after my own heart, which shall what? Fulfill my will. If you, God is your shepherd, then you don't have to want. Just follow him and your heart will be holy. We see in Psalms 100, what did he say? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, make a joyful noise. Come into his presence with singing. You know, make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Time and time again, he says, I was glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. Do you feel that way? Do you make a joyful noise unto the Lord? Do you come into his gates with thanksgiving? Do you serve the Lord with gladness? You know, if your heart is the heart of God, if it's righteous, then you're going to feel these same ways that we see that David felt about worshiping and about serving God. Fathers, how do you feel about it? You're here this morning, hopefully, because you want to be here. Do you want to be here? Do you want to be here each week? Here we see that he says, I was glad. I search and I sing and I serve him in every way that I can. In Psalms 119:11, what did he say? I will do what? I will hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against him. Think about that. He had a righteous heart. He had a holy heart because he had it full of the word of God. God was his shepherd. He was a man after God's own heart. Is your heart full of the word of God? Is your heart with service and wanting to serve and praise him and make a joyful noise? Is your heart that we know that's looking forward to being in the house of God when the days are over? You know, we have so much that we hear about the lack of fathers in the home. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's worse than that. It's the lack of fathers in our churches. You know, if a father's missing in the home, then he's probably missing in the church. But we got a lack of fathers that are in the church. We got some fathers that's in the home, but they're not in the church. They need to be in the church with their children. They need to be in the church with their families. Well, let's look at the last thing. I know our time's running out. He was a God of what? A courage. Now, you ever heard that before? You know, David's heart was a heart of courage, and he proved that from the time that he was a youth all the way through. But have you ever thought about that God is a God of courage? In Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, when he tells Sarah and Abraham, you're going to have a child, and they were both old, 199, what did they say? How can we do that? We can't do that. What did God tell them? He says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything that I can't do? In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, the Lord God said, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by the great power and thy stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Listen to me. Where do we get our courage from? We get our courage from because we serve a God that there is nothing too hard for. Where did David get his courage? There in 1 Samuel chapter 17, when he faces Goliath, he got it from his faith in a God that he knew there was nothing too hard for him. There is nothing too hard for God. Matter of fact, when they said, who's going to go out and fight this Goliath? David said, I'll go do it. They said, how are you going to do that? You're nothing but a youth. What did he say? He said, I got faith in God. I got faith in God. He delivered the bear. He delivered the lion into my hand. He will deliver this big Goliath unto my hand. And you remember when he ran out there and he met Goliath, what did he say? He said, you come at me with your spear and your sword, with your big shield and all your armor and everything. But what did he say? But I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. See, brothers and sisters, had a lot of courage, wasn't it? Old David had a lot of courage to do that, even as a youth. It wasn't just being stupid. You know, sometimes youth just do stupid things, I hear. But this wasn't just something stupid. He was on fire for the Lord. He had his faith in God, and he wasn't scared of anything. See, our God's not scared of anything, folks. Are you scared of the future? Are you scared of what's going to happen? Our God's not scared of anything, and we shouldn't be scared of anything. What did he tell Joshua when he takes over after Moses? Be what? Be of comfort. Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Because just as the way I was with what? Just as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, Joshua. Everything's going to be fine. Be of courage. Be men of courage. So this morning, how's your heart? What is God's testimony about you? Would he say you have the same heart that is in him, that you have a heart of love, a heart of righteousness, a heart of courage, that your heart brings you to church, that you love the Lord every day? Look what it says. He said that this man's seed, God, according to his promise, raised up Israel, a Savior, which is Jesus. If you got the heart of God within you, then you're planting the seed of the Savior, Jesus, in your family, in your home. Are you doing that? Do your children see Jesus in you? Do they know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world? Do they know him as Lord and Savior? Do you know him as Lord and Savior? You can't teach your children about something you don't know about. Do you know him? What is God's testimony of you today? Does he say, hey, I know that man. He's got a heart like mine. Or does he say, I don't even know who that man is. I know who he is, but he don't know me because he's never accepted me. What about you this morning? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray for fathers everywhere today that they'll have a great day. But I pray, Lord, that you'll raise up a group of men, a group of fathers who have the same heart that is like your heart. We need men like that today. We need men to stand up and be counted on your side, to love people, to have the righteousness within the heart, the holiness, to have the courage to stand up in this day and time and be counted on your side. Let us be such men today on this Father's Day. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.